Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the one that always marries for money, hides his insulin in random bottles, loves chest tattoos, can't stop singing them old-timey hits, steals the show. He loves squid tacos, adding electricity to his doorbell, drinking whiskey and drag racing. He goes to the library every day to read up on architecture, puppeteering, whatever concerto is, and how to stay young forever. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, Cortland. That's all true.
I know, right? You just can't.
I'm glad that's on the record now. Mm-hmm, That's canon. No one can argue.
Did you figure out what a concerto is, though, for real?
No. I mean, it's just a concert, right?
Yeah, probably. Werewolf concert. That's what it should have been called. Dang, we missed that one. Oh, my God. Brandon. We are done with season four of Tales from the Crypt.
We're here.
It happened. We're already finished with season four. Can you fucking believe it, Brandon? It's been a year, okay? Because, like, we're in, like, episode 50 already, and we, you know, only do one of these a week kind of thing. I can't believe it. It feels like just yesterday we was doing Goosebumps.
Yeah. We were like, what are we going to do? I don't know. I guess we'll do that Tales from the Crypt thing.
Yeah, we did it. I do love that we both had never really watched Tales from the Crypt. Were there any episodes besides All Through the House that you had watched of Tales from the Crypt before we started watching it?
No.
That's awesome, Brandon. I'm glad that we get to experience this for the first time together. Such a dynamic podcast we have. We're amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad we have these episodes to just pat ourselves on the back for an hour.
with editing, girl, it's probably going to be a lot. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Brandon, we have some things to talk about, but I have to know, like, did you have a good week this week? Anything sweet happened to you?
Oh, yeah, it was a pretty nice week.
Dope.
Cortland.
Yeah?
Do you remember when we were children and we were in school and we got to watch a little movie, which was always very exciting?
Hold on. Let me guess what it is. Hold on. Was it Watership Down?
No.
Was it The Grinch That Stole Christmas?
No.
Was it Harry Potter?
No, I don't remember watching Harry Potter.
I think we watched Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone once.
Okay. I mean, we were probably goofing off anyway, because that's what we did when we watched movies. Our teacher was like, all right, you're going to watch this movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, my God.
And it's, like, amazing. It's, like, art. You guys are going to love it. And we watched it, and, you know, we were all, like, 14, 15 years old or whatever, and just... No one in the entire class could not have given less of a shit about that movie. And everyone was just talking.
Yes.
And our teacher was like practically crying. And
I do remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched 2001 A Space Odyssey with my daughters.
Okay.
My teenage daughters. And I think I know how our teacher felt.
Uh-huh.
That is just not a movie that teenagers can appreciate. I don't think.
I have to say, Brandon, I remember, like, my memory of watching 2001 A Space Odyssey does not exist, okay? The only part I remember was laughing at you when, like, the monkeys were banging on the thing, on the obelisk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the only part I remember. That is the movie to me. It's about 3 minutes long. So, how was it? I was actually watching it.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Oh, damn. I guess I should probably watch it then.
But it's a movie that you have to be very patient for. And I feel like that's just something that's not how movies are made anymore.
No. Movies are made these days so that you have a phone in one hand and you're barely paying attention in your mind. Like,
yeah. Anyway, that's what I did all week. That was my entire week.
Dang. Okay. It's a really long movie, Brandon. That's great. I'm glad you got to watch it. I've never, besides like talking with you about how we didn't pay attention to it whatsoever, like that memory is just non-existent to me. So maybe I should give 2001 A Space Odyssey a passing thought and then I'll forget about it again.
Yeah, it's worth that.
Okay, cool. But did I do anything interesting? I don't think we did anything. You know, honestly, Brandon, I don't think I did a single thing this week. I was basically put into cryogenic sleep until from the last episode we did a recording till now. It's all
well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it would be extra cool if it was like an alien where you don't age at all. But here I am, a week older, and yeah, I feel it, Brandon. I feel it.
Oh, you're feeling that week.
Yeah. Oof. So we have a lot to talk about today, Brandon, because we are just going to discuss all of season 4 of Tales from the Crypt. We have a couple of questions to answer as well from people that submitted questions. So you want to kind of just splash your feet into the season 4 pool and see what happens?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Okay, let's do it, Brandon. I think up first we should answer some questions because we don't have too many of them.
Okay.
So our first question we have here, Brandon, comes from Thomas, a.k.a. TJ. He was on with us for Strained Peas, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Good, good. I'm glad you have a memory. Well, that'd be worse if you didn't. Oof. So TJ wants to know, so for Brandon, which seasonal artwork that you did was the most fun for you to do?
Oh, boy. I feel like they kind of get more fun as they go.
Yeah, I can see that. They have, like, our first season artwork for the show was kind of basic, you know, just our faces. And then we thought of, well, why don't we add in stuff from Are You Afraid of the Dark? And it was kind of a little small at first, you know, we had like a Zeebo nose here, super specs there.
Yeah.
And then it just got ridiculous.
Yeah, it gets more and more ambitious, everyone. But even the like the first seasons we do are fun because it's like I got to figure out how to like frame the whole thing and, you know, do a little bit of designing. And that's fun. Mm-hmm. Then it's just getting crazy with all the shit on our faces.
Yeah.
But I really like the most recent one that we have.
Oh, I quite like that one as well. I like, you know what, though, I'm biased. I like all of them. Even the one where I have that floppy hat on from the Tale of the Mystical Mirror.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that hat. I was like, put in this reference that nobody will understand. And you were like, I'm on it.
Yeah, this is all for me.
You know, the artwork really is all for us, though, isn't it?
I think it is. For the most part.
So here's our process behind how we do this artwork, too. So probably today or at least sometime this week, I'll message Brandon and be like, all right, what do we got from these episodes that we can actually use in the artwork? And we try and list at least one thing from every episode that we could potentially use for our faces. And sometimes it's harder than you think.
Yeah, sometimes an episode is just like two people talking to each other.
Yeah.
And that won't give you anything.
Nah, because like, what do we even have from this season? We have like a tattoo.
Yeah, a tattoo.
Bubblegum. We'll have to sit there and think about this
Meatloaf's one. Meatloaf's ass? I don't know.
I'll take that one, Brandon.
All right. I'll draw that all day.
I've already been practicing.
I'm well experienced in that.
It's a hard thing. It's pretty difficult to like sit down and actually think about what you could feasibly put on a face, maybe what you could use as a background, because the backgrounds are pretty tough sometimes too. It's fun though. It's a lot of fun to do that. I don't know how many people like genuinely appreciate that we change our art every season or not, but I hope everybody does.
Yeah, it's something that we totally could just not do.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it is fun, so
yeah, it's fun. We have a couple of questions from Instagram as well, Brandon. Brett on Instagram wants to know, what do you enjoy most about covering all these 90s horror anthologies the past 5 years?
Well, I mean, other than just talking about them with you, I'd say in the case of Tales from the Crypt and Are You Afraid of the Dark, mostly, just seeing these all for the first time.
Yeah.
Especially like with the perspective as a grown man, like...
Grown-ass
Are You Afraid
man.
Of the Dark was still a very fun watch.
Yeah.
And
I thought Goosebumps
I liked looking
too.
Back on that, and it made me very nostalgic for the 90s and Goosebumps and Tales from the Crypt the same way.
We have spent a lot of time in the 90s with this podcast, yeah. Very minimal of the 80s and, 2000 and stuff too. Although we did cover the newer stuff too, and that was a lot of fun too. I think, so besides talking with you every week, because like this is obviously a highlight of my week is doing the recordings and stuff. I do enjoy the actors and the actresses, seeing who they are, recognizing them instantly if I do, or seeing them through IMDb and seeing what they've done. I really like doing that. I think it's a lot of fun to be like, oh my God, this person was in Tales from the Crypt. And also, you know, what's peak movie?
Peak movie?
Yeah.
Hairspray. I don't know.
Sure.
But yeah, like seeing, like, oh, there's baby Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's really fun.
It's a little Anka Skywalker, you know. Or, oh, hey, it's baby Iceman from X-Men or something. Like, that's my favorite, is to see people, like, start their careers in Are You Afraid of the Dark and blossom into recognizable household names like Ryan Gosling. So, like, that's really cool. I also really like talking with people about Are You Afraid of the Dark or the podcast or Goosebumps or, like, whatever we've covered. Having, like, a community that is interested in it and wants to talk about it and listens to our show and, you know, being kind of like a... I'm just going to say, Brandon, being kind of like an authority in knowledge of these old shows is fun.
Yeah. Self-proclaimed authority. But yes.
You know what, though, Brandon? Okay. Fuck all this. My favorite part is that we keep bringing these shows back to life, Brandon, because I'm sure Tales from the Crypt is going to be coming back because they're bringing back the comic series. So
yeah,
only
as
a matter
soon
of time.
As we start talking about something, they're like, oh, shit.
They have us on recordings. They listen to the podcast before it's even made because they have my home and your home is bugged. And they're like, what are those bitches talking about? We got to remake it. So it's pretty cool. Brett also wants to know, where do you want to go next once Tales from the Crypt is done? That's a good question. We're not really sure yet what we're going to be doing next. Definitely a horror anthology show. I mean, there's plenty to choose from. We have Twilight Zone, there's Freddy's Nightmares, The Haunting Hour, The Nightmare Room, so many. Like, the list goes on and on. Honestly, Brandon, there is content for us for decades, probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so bold. Yeah. There's Black Mirror. There's Cabinet of Curiosities. There's Outer Limits. Like, there's tons and tons and tons and tons. And I love them because while there still may be a lot of similarities between some episodes, even from, you know, Are You Afraid of the Dark to Tales from the Crypt kind of thing, even though it's very loose, like, there's similarities, but they're all done differently. They're all directed by different people, have different actors. Like, there's still a lot of fun and differences. And horror anthology shows are, like, the most creative shows. So that's another win for the horror anthology field, is how creative they can be. And they're fun. You get camp episodes, you get spooky episodes, and everything in between.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you get
boring
episodes. You can get
real weird with it.
Sure can. The next question we have is from Instagram. It's from Real Wolf Castle. He wants to know, how have you and Brandon's lives evolved or changed as you've podcasted? I like that question, Brandon. I think for me, I'm more confident in myself as a human being. Okay.
Aww.
I know, right? Like, when we first started the show, I don't know about you, Brandon, but I, like, hated the sound of my voice. I was like, do I have a lisp going on? I kind of do. Just don't tell me, though.
But I won't. I haven't said anything for 20 years. I'm not going to start.
our first episodes, like, they're not great, honestly, Brandon. You know,
probably since we recorded them, I probably listened to it and was like, oh, boy. I should go back and listen to, like, the first couple episodes again. Just to appreciate more how amazing we are now.
I feel like they're pretty rough, Brandon. I mean, I've said this before, but I was sitting in my chair, like, rocking back and forth, having the podcasting microphone in my hand as I was recording it. So, like, the audio quality is kind of shit. We're nervous a bit, especially in, like, the first couple of episodes. They're not as fun. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think we kind of started hitting our stride around episode, like, six or seven. And it's been kind of a roller coaster from there. I think my editing has gotten better since then as well. And what I've taken out of it is being able to do some social media here and there, being able to edit. Editing is probably the big one, being able to edit audio. And I've been starting to do video through, like, DaVinci, which is a free computer app that you can download and do video editing on. Working on applications like CapCut and using TikTok and stuff. Like, I don't put a whole big emphasis in the video content, but having the podcast, I wouldn't do it otherwise. And I'm just so skillful, you guys. I have so many skills.
Yeah, you've developed all of the skills.
I also really love, like, networking with people. I mean, we get guests on, you know, at least, like, two times a season. And for the most part, I mean, we have some returning guests, of course, but it's me reaching out to people being like, hey, you want to be on a podcast, you know? Obviously, I do some research first, but you know, doing the networking stuff. That's something that I wouldn't do if I didn't have a podcast. You know, I wouldn't have any reason to. So it just kind of opens up like new possibilities and friendships and stuff. And I'm always there to help.
Very cool people on this podcast.
Yeah, right. Really cool people. And I love making those connections and being friends with people. And it's a really, like I've said it before, if you're ever thinking about doing a podcast, just do it. I'd be happy to help you out. We have a couple more questions here, Brandon. Rumpelstiltskin on Instagram, I love the name, wants to know, what would you like to see in the new Tales from the Crypt? So that is assuming that there is going to be another Tales from the Crypt season.
Come on. We know there is. We're bringing it back. And what do we want to see once we bring it back? Like cool actors and directors that are working now.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to reboot Tales from the Crypt, you're going to have on big stars on it, you know. Let me think who's big these days. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like an episode with like Selena Gomez or Ryan Gosling can come on back. What hell else is he doing? But like having big stars, both in video and probably like wrestlers, you know, John Cena or The Rock. We'll go with them. Why not? I'm naming big here. And then you have like musical artists as well coming in to do episodes just like we did in the original show. I think that the sky's the limit when it comes to Tales from the Crypt. It's a big name. I mean, it kind of dominated the 90s.
And yeah, seeing some of these actors who were in these episodes, it was like, wow. Like,
yeah,
I didn't think you would do kind of like a, let's be real, like a cheesy horror.
Exactly.
TV show when you're doing like Scorsese movies.
Yeah. I mean, you get Joe Pesci in there, like. And then we had like 90s Whoopi Goldberg and Brad Pitt. Like, I know he wasn't super big at the time, but like came really big. And I wouldn't expect anything less than having like some A-list celebrities in these episodes doing cheesy, cheesy, mean things. And I think it'd be great. I think it's only a matter of time. I think that the diverse cast of including thing people like Meatloaf and Zelda Rubinstein in the same season is really cool. And yeah, they could do a lot with it, and especially with it being like potentially on HBO again, like they can get away with more. I want more gore. I want more butt cheeks. Like, give us the butt cheeks.
Give us the butt cheeks, please.
More butt cheeks. Yeah, it can be really big. And like I was saying too, I mean, Tales from the Crypt was so big that there is a cameo of the Crypt Keeper in a movie like Casper. You know, so like he was everywhere. You have Jamie Lee Curtis being like, oh, I look like the Crypt Keeper in Friday the 13th. Or no, not Friday the 13th. Freaky Friday. Like, yeah, he was everywhere. And he should be back. And I'm going to say it, Brandon, better than ever.
Better than ever, yeah. Let's see new directors like Robert Eggers and Ari Aster and Jordan Peele. Let's see what they can do in 20-something minutes.
Yeah, Jordan Peele would make an excellent episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, without having to have the big commitment of making a whole movie, just be like, give us a cool horror short story.
Exactly. Rumpelstiltskin also wants to know, what podcasts are you a fan of? That's a good question. My goodness. Can I be honest with you, Brandon? Can I be honest?
I'm going to say Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. It's the best one.
You're so basic, Brandon. If I'm being honest with you, so I work from home now. The podcast has been on so long that I've been through three jobs in my time in the podcast. Because when I first started, I was working in the factory and I was listening to podcasts all the time because I was doing manual repetitive labor. And podcasts are what got me through my shifts. So I was listening to a lot of different podcasts at the time. Some of them I don't believe are any longer like around because I used to really enjoy listening to independent podcasts like ours, you know, and sometimes people make their podcasts for a couple of years, maybe, and then they quit because podcasting is hard. If you guys don't know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. There's not a lot of payoff for it unless you are famous.
You gotta love it
first. Yeah, it's a labor of love, 100%. But I used to listen to a lot of podcasts then. Tenish Pod, which is actually still going on. I listened to that. Three Spooked Girls, which congratulations to Three Spooked Girls because they just got part of the Bloody FM network, which is a really huge horror news network. So good job for them. Love it. Tara's actually been on their show before. She was with us for the Sponge episode. It came from under the sink.
Yep.
Wonderful. Love Tara. Love to have her back on. Tone Deaf is one that I used to listen to a bit because I love Kay and Warren. I don't believe that they're really doing podcasting too much right now, I think they've gotten an episode out every once in a great while, but I love them. And then you have like the famous podcasts, you know, How Did This Get Made is probably the first podcast I really listened to that I loved. Potterless podcast. We had Mike Schubert on back at season 3 of Are You Afraid of the Dark? He's finished Harry Potter. He's moved on to The Last Olympian, I think is what his podcast is now. He covers Percy Jackson books. What's that one podcast that we took inspiration from where they did improv? What was that one called?
Improv for Humans.
Yeah, Improv for Humans is so funny. I love that one. Hello from the Magic Tavern was also one that I listened to quite a bit back when I was a horkin' man. But those are kind of mine. Lately, I haven't really been listening to as many podcasts because usually when I'm working from home, in my spare time, I'm editing or watching Twitch because I'm a nerd.
Indeed.
How about you, Brandon? Any podcasts out there that you have a little love for?
See, I used to listen to podcasts just all the time and I loved it. And it would really be nice if I had the time to listen to podcasts all the time, but I don't. Yeah. So I'm not listening to a whole lot these days. I mean, it's mostly just like improv comedy podcasts like Improv for Humans or the Man Dog Pod. Mm-hmm. I listen to audiobooks more.
Oh, yeah.
When I get some time.
Yeah. My wife, she used to listen to our podcast pretty regularly. She hasn't really so much for Tales from the Crypt because we didn't watch it together. And she never grew up watching Tales from the Crypt for sure. So she's
too spooky.
Yeah. So she switched to audiobooks too. And that seems to be like the hottest shit right now, Brandon. I've never listened to an audiobook before because I don't read as much as I used to.
Yeah. I didn't listen to audiobooks for the longest time because I was like, I know I'm going to drift off while I'm listening to this. And then I'm going to be like, wait, I missed like the entire last chapter and have to rewind and go back to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I listen to it on my walk to the train station or wherever I'm going. And, you know, I get a chapter done or whatever here and there. It's fine.
Audiobooks are Brandon approved?
Yes.
Okay.
This newfangled audiobook thing, I give my thumbs up.
Perfect. All right. Well, Brandon, that's all the questions that we have. I only asked a few short times, like, hey, we're doing our question things. If you want a shout out, let us know. And we didn't get too many this time, which is totally fine. I think the questions we got were awesome. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that asked any questions to us. And yeah, if you're interested, I mean, you can ask us anytime. I will hold on to them like some sort of treasure goblin for when we can use them again. But I think we got a lot to move on to, Brandon, because we got season 4 of Tales from the Crypt to talk about.
The whole damn season.
We got to rank some shit. We got to talk about the characters and the episodes and all the puns, perhaps, Brandon.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Crypt Keeper was a little outrageous this season with his puns. He's getting into like that annoying territory, which I thought would be delayed a little bit. Maybe like season 6-7 is when he starts doing all the awful puns. But nah, like right away, we have a very different Crypt Keeper than what we started with.
Yeah, I started out like, oh, you, when he'd tell his puns. But now I'm like, oh, God. It's not really the puns themselves. It's the pacing of the puns. He does like 12 in one sentence. And it's like, dude, just get to the story at this point.
They're so stretchy this time. Like so much of it is just boo and hack. And like,
yeah, it's like the same 5 words trying to like hammer themselves into the sentences.
I still like I complain about it, but I still do love it. I think it's great.
I was saying boo earns.
My favorite part about the puns, though, is that it's so difficult for me sometimes to even say them because they're such a stretch. Like, there was one episode where it took me like 5 times to say one of the puns, and I edited it out so that like you don't hear the good one. But it was rough. It was rough. It was probably the neighborhood one. Remember that shit? Ugh. But Brandon, I think we should talk a little bit about these episodes here. Do you want to start with, I don't know, the main characters of our episodes? See which ones we liked, which ones we didn't really care for?
Sure, we had some main characters in this season.
We did have a couple of them. A lot of pieces of shit.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any of these characters are, like, good, but they are enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably the main point of the show. But we had a couple of assholes, Brandon. We had a lot of people that killed people for no real reason. I'm looking mostly at Danny Darwin here from Dead Man's Chest, who just killed our poor Tia Carrera because he thought his tattoo looked a little bit like her, which it didn't. And he was like, I gotta kill her.
It didn't look like anybody.
No, it sure didn't. It was very generic. And he was like, I can't live with this on my chest. I have to kill her, even though my chest tattoo would still stay the same. Like, you know, when you kill somebody, it doesn't eliminate them from existence. Like, everybody doesn't forget about them. Like, yeah. She's still there.
We also have Helen from Beauty Rest, who was just like,
oh, yeah,
this roommate I'm living with is a little bit too pretty and successful. So I'm just going to kill her and then take her job. And no right. one's going to notice or care.
No, I'm a very short-minded thinker here. It's all about the short term, no long-term thoughts going on here. I got to kill my roommate, even though she's awesome. And you know what? That Drusilla character, I don't like her. She might take the crown here. I got to kill her too. Oh, fucking Drusilla. Who names their kid Drusilla? What the hell is that?
Yeah, that's dumb.
We also have weird characters like Billy from King of the Road, who was so obsessed with, what was his name, Frostman? Iceman? I think it was Iceman. Where he's like, based his life all around him. He gets tattoos of dudes' names on him for, fuck it, what are you doing, Billy? Like, very obsessive over being the king of the road.
Yeah, fucking weirdo.
It's kind of admirable, Brandon. I wish I liked anything as much as Billy likes putting names of dudes on his skin.
We've got Showdown where our pal Billy here is just a piece of shit who just shoots people for no reason and is just like, yeah, it's not even for money or nothing. I just shoot him.
He's a rootin' tootin' shooting cowboy, yeah. But yeah. You know what? At least that episode has the benefit of being set in the Wild West of like the 1800s. Like, that's kind of what you expect when you live in the 1800s. Like, is today the day I'm going to get shot by Billy Quintana? I don't know. I better get out here and look at my tumbleweed. That episode was so much fun, Brandon. Do you remember when that fabulous cowboy walked up and he was all sparkly and the fucking boombox? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Best side character in the
spoilers.
Season, I think.
Yeah.
Just say it right now. It's that guy, whatever his name is.
Ah, yeah. And then you got somebody like Margaret from Maniac at Large, who's just trying to do her job in a new city. And all these people are annoying the hell out of her. And she's got to kill him. She's got to kill him. That's a little twist.
Seems that way at first. It's just like, oh, this poor woman's just got this really stressful job and no one's taking her seriously. And everyone just wants to give her sandwiches. But then it turns out that, yeah, she just kills people. So she's not that sympathetic in the end.
I think, Brandon, my least favorite character is going to be a real treat, Brandon, because it's Howard Prince from None But the Lonely Heart. And I think he just has so many layers to him. He is just awful all the time and has been before the episode even starts and continues to be awful throughout the episode until he gets eaten by zombies. I think he might be the worst character. Like, I mean, I love Treat Williams. I think he's the worst.
Yeah. Treat's great. That character is a real piece of shit. I'm just trying to think. No, he's the worst person.
I feel like he is. Because the thing about him is that he marries old ladies for money, and then he kills them, and he keeps getting away with it. And, like, at this point, it's a game for him. So, like, we're watching him at his final, like, con. And, like, we saw that he got away with it so many times. He's ruined so many lives already, and he just keeps going. Now, granted, this would be, like, his final one where they're finally onto him. But then he gets to go off and live in, like, you know, the Bahamas or whatever and be happy with all of his money. So I'm glad that we get to see his downfall because he's a real piece of shit.
He even kills his partner, remember?
Oh, yeah, right. The paper shredder, Brandon.
He gets his tie stuck in the paper shredder.
Yeah, the most ridiculous death.
What's that man turn to spaghetti?
Yeah, the paper shredder is just getting his tie and he's like, no, I can't get away.
There's nothing I can do.
Do you think that paper shredder, because like the door closes and we don't see the rest of it. Do you think that paper shredder just inhaled him all? Like it just kept going and going until he was nothing.
Yeah.
Just like the doll that eats hair. Yeah.
Like what else could have happened?
That doll that fucking eats hair, Brandon, is just like that, except it's a paper shredder.
Think of that doll all the time.
I know. We don't even have hair, Brandon. We don't have any hair.
I know.
Still haunts us. I feel like, you know, on the same vein here, we should talk about Vic from Split Personality because he kind of did the same thing, except he hadn't done it before. So this was like his first go at it. But man, he kept up that little charade for months. But those poor twins, yeah. April and June.
Like, he was clearly a con artist who had pulled some cons in the past. We see him do one in the beginning with that gambler.
Oh, right. But forgot about
he wasn't that, just going and killing people, I don't think. But, yeah, his con is ridiculous, which is why it's like you can still like him even though...
Yeah.
He's not a good guy because he's like, I'm going to put on a ponytail and I'm going to be a different guy.
If, you know, that's one of those things, like, if he would have just been, like, honest at the beginning, I'm pretty sure those twins would have been like, okay, you know, that's cool with me. Yeah. Like, I don't like to share with my sis or whatever, but maybe they said something about, like, turning over a new leaf in the episode themselves. So, like, and they were both like, maybe we should just share. So, yeah. They could have gone a better way for you there, Vic, but it didn't, and it was entertaining.
Yeah, he got greedy.
He sure did. How about, like, our favorite characters? So those were the pieces of shit, Brandon. What about, like, likable characters? Were there any in this season?
I mean, I guess the Iceman from King of the Road is, like,
oh, right.
Just trying to live a normal life when Billy comes in and is just like, wait, is his name Billy?
Yep.
Okay. Everyone's Billy. When Billy comes in and he's just like, hey, come back to your life of crime and whatnot. But yeah, he's trying to do all right. And similarly, Joseph from Strung Along.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, he's just trying to be happy.
Yeah. He's, you know, a washed up actor or whatever. And he just wanted to be good. He did have a jealous streak.
Sure. That we heard of, but never saw.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not perfect, but I think he was just trying to live his best life.
Yeah, those are really good examples. Although I will say that Joe Garrett from King of the Road, a.k.a. Iceman, was the worst cop, okay?
Yeah,
he was
terrible,
like,
at his job.
He was running into situations alone. He was not calling for backup. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're ridiculous. Worst cop ever. And then just gets absolved of all crimes and is totally fine. Gets away with murder, literally. And becomes a cop. That's so stupid. One of the characters, it's a duo here, Fred and Irma from What's Cooking. I think genuinely they're good people. I mean, I guess I can't say that because they knowingly, well, at least Fred did, knowingly served human beings, two people. But like, they accidentally stumbled into the kind of
bar we're working with here on Tales from the Crypt is like, oh, you can still be a good person and serve human beings.
Serve the flesh of the fallen, like, no big deal.
To other human beings.
I mean, they had good intentions, and they stuck with each other, and I thought they were a really good pair.
Fred's just a dumbass. Like, he wanted a squid restaurant? Like, come on, man.
Fuck an idiot. But I like him. Like, when I thought of, like, what's a kind of a good character, I was like, oh, Fred and Irma were pretty good, aside from all the, you know, the... What was it called? Like, second degree murder or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, you just have to ignore it. You have to ignore the cannibalism.
Yeah.
Other just than that, they're okay.
They're pretty good. We also have, like, as far as, like, I don't know. I don't know if Cynthia would fall under a good character. I loved Cynthia. I loved her bullshit and the way she was acted and everything. She goes into a different tier, though. She's not, like, criminal, okay, in what she does. She's just kind of a bitch. You know,
yeah, she's just a person I wouldn't want to be around at all.
Yeah, but given what she's had to put up with, I mean, Jack ain't great himself. So, like, I love to see that kind of old people drama of, like, mom, I'm an old woman. I'm not eating your maggot biotics. Like, I loved it. I loved it so much. And I don't know. I was really upset that she had to die at the end of that episode. I was really hoping that she would get away and be a beautiful Lois Lane, but she didn't.
No. And in fact, we got to see her hideously mangled corpse
just to
stick it to you.
Yeah. We also have the new arrival. We got Dr. Alan Getz and Rona and Nora and Bonnie all together. Like, you know, Dr. Alan Getz, he had a little bit of anger issues, but overall he was a pretty good person. I mean, his parenting advice is shit, but besides that, like, he didn't do anything egregious to deserve his fate.
He wasn't a murderer, I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. But I did like Bonnie a lot.
Oh, I did too. Played by the wonderful Twiggy, yeah.
Shame she had to have her head launched off.
Oh my god, that fan. Oh, who came up with that? Well, the script was just like, and then a fan blade comes on down and fucking hurls her down a set of stairs. I was like, who writes this? That's ridiculous. And I'm glad it was there because I loved it. This'll Kill You, Brandon. We haven't really talked about This'll Kill You. We got Sophie Wagner and George Gatlin And I didn't write down the other character's name, even though he was my favorite, but kind of pieces of shit that episode. I mean, Sophie's not a piece of shit. She's just, you know, a victim of abuse and stuff. But that George, garbage person.
Yeah, he's garbage. No, like everybody else isn't great, but he's garbage. Not a murderer. Again, so like you have to compare everyone to the people who are just straight up killing other people.
Right.
But definitely an asshole.
And then the last one we haven't really talked about is Werewolf Concerto. Because Lokai, I still don't understand if Lokai knows he's a werewolf and does these heinous things. Or if he's like, there's a werewolf everywhere I go. You know?
Yeah, I'm a master werewolf hunter. I never get my prey, but...
But I know a lot about him somehow.
But he's always where I am.
Yeah. I don't know if he knows or not. But I didn't think he was too bad. Like he, well, wait, hold on. There was that time that he, without hesitation, shot a man in the forehead.
Yeah, I guess. But then he turned out to be a Nazi, so it's like,
Oh, yeah. Saved by the Nazi. Nobody said that before. Yeah, that's true. He didn't really know it until after the fact, but but still. He can't be all that great if he just shoots a dude in the forehead. Well, I guess he did a bullet gun on him, too. I don't know. There's a little bit of layers here. I can forgive some of it. Yes,
Werewolf Concerto is a very complicated story.
It is, because there's a billion fucking characters. You got fucking Carl and Wolfgang Puck.
I forgot Wolfgang Puck was in that.
He served the frittata, Brandon. Oh, so I don't know, Brandon. Let's just do it. Let's top and bottom characters of season four for you.
Top character, I guess just from an entertainment perspective, is Joe Pesci.
So wonderful.
As Vic and Jack.
Yeah.
Both characters, but especially when he has the ponytail on.
It's so stupid, Brandon.
Because Joe Pesci trying to do like a California like surfer dude.
Sure.
Is just something to behold.
I don't know if that was his decision or if it was in the script. But it was wonderful. Whatever happened, it turned out to be beautiful. I also love Vic. He's so much fun to watch. And it's because it's Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci's great.
Yeah, definitely. He raised that episode so high. I also really liked Joyce from Beauty Rest. Like, she just seemed like a nice, sweet woman who didn't deserve what happened to her. Like, maybe she was murdering people on the side. I don't know.
I don't think she was. I think Beauty Rest is one of those tales where it's like we see them at their snapping point and we see what happens after that. And it's so scary because anybody can get to this point where they murder their roommate and try to snatch the crown and all that. So that's a sad example. It does suck, though. I can't imagine being an actor or an actress and like trying your hardest and just never getting the roles that you're trying out for. It's probably pretty hard, you know? I'd kill somebody, yeah, too.
All right, let's
that's why I can't be an actor. Quote.
But the best character in the season is obviously Nora from The New Arrival.
Oh, I do love Nora. Played by the late Zelda Rubinstein.
Yep. She's great.
Not to be confused with Rona.
No. God. Rona does nothing but get electrocuted and then die.
It was funny when she got electrocuted. It was pretty great. Nora's wonderful, though. I love Zelda Rubinstein. I've seen her in a couple of movies. She's always a fantastic addition to any movie, really. She's just so, like, petite, and that voice alone is just so wonderful. I could listen to her all day. I could do it. Let's talk about the worst characters, Brandon. I mean, we kind of already did her a little bit. I think my worst character is Howard Prince from None But a Lonely Heart, just because of all the shit he's done, all the lives he's ruined. He's kind of pretty garbage. We haven't talked about Allison Peters and Benjamin Polowski. I think it was Benjamin. From Seance, though, because they kind of did the same thing that Howard Prince does. They're, you know, con peoples. And I don't think that their con is as terrible as our Treat Williams.
No, they just want money.
They just want money.
Kill people.
That episode was pretty convoluted, though. Just like how can you like pretend to be somebody's cousin and they would never know and then kiss them? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole episode is a flashback.
Yeah. Remember how they were like, oh, we can't have that Boston gig happen again. And I was like, no, I want to see the Boston gig, though. Tell us what happened.
The whole episode's a flashback showing you things you don't want to see. But then the things you do want to see, they're just like, oh, man, remember that action-packed scene?
I love it when movies do that. And by love it, I mean, I think it's the worst idea ever. But Danny Darwin, kind of a piece of shit, Brandon. Dead Man's Chest fucking kills Tia Carrere. We're retreading territory, Brandon. I think we should move on.
Yeah, we're kind of just repeating ourselves. But yeah, it must be said that Danny sucks.
Are there any quotes from season 4 that stick out to you, Brandon?
I mean, not like for good reasons, but the one in Split Personality.
Oh, my God.
Jack is like, oh, man, I always wanted to do it with the, what's her name?
Haley something.
Haley Mills.
Haley Mills, yes.
I always wanted to stick it to Haley Mills.
Yeah, when she was 13 years old.
Like, oh boy.
There wasn't even two of her. My favorite line comes from Split Personality as well, is when Joe Pesci is about to fall asleep and he's all like, well, there's only one way I could do it. If there's was two of me. Snaps like,
I do love that.
I think right about that to the line camera. All the time.
Two of me.
That is by far my favorite line.
Oh, that's a good one.
So funny. Another favorite line of mine, when Brad Pitt's character is like, he's talking to the dude under the hood of the car and he's like, I know you're Iceman. And then he like runs away and is completely just gone. And I love that. It's so stupid. I just love it.
It's like setting up that he's a ghost and then he's not.
My other favorite thing, Brandon, is from None But the Lonely Heart, is when they shit talk puzzles. You remember that? Like,
yes.
Oh, my husband loved puzzles. And then the guy's like, I think they're boring. She's like, oh, I think they're stupid and boring too. And it's like, damn, you just like alienated a whole audience.
Yeah, I remember it because I was watching that episode with Rebecca and he was like, I love puzzles. And she was like, oh, I love puzzles too. And then they're like, only idiots love puzzles.
Oh, it's so stupid. I love it. Did you see your wife deflate before your eyes?
Yeah. Just...
Oh, that's great. I think those are the only lines that I really remember from season 4, though, Brandon.
All the hits.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There's one more in The New Arrival when he's like, ignore it, ignore it, ignore it. I live my life by that.
How's that working out for you?
So far, so good.
All right. Keep it going.
Oh, man, Brandon. We kind of talked about side characters already. I think we should just get into the meat and potatoes, Brandon. I think we should do our top three, bottom three of season 4, which is going to be really hard, I will say, because I think season 4 was a pretty phenomenal season for Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. Even the worst episode this season is not that bad.
Nah, it's got a high bar. It makes me worry for seasons 5 through 7, because I don't know if it can go much better than this, but there's so many hits here. I mean, What's Cooking, The New Arrival, Showdown, King of the Road. Like, that was like, what the hell? This is amazing.
Yeah. I hope they didn't use all their creative juice here.
No.
But if they did, it would still be just a good season of TV.
Right. Yeah. And even if things go downhill from here, Brandon, we'll still be here to laugh about it. So.
Yeah. We're still going to talk about it.
Sometimes the worst episodes make for the best content. You never know. Let's start with the bottoms here, Brandon. What's your least favorite episode? Even though I already know what it's going to be, from season 4 of Tales from the Crypt.
I don't know if you do know what it's going to be.
Oh, my. Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
Okay, so I think the worst episode of this season is Beauty Rest.
You know, Brandon, I thought you were going to say Curiosity Killed.
I know, because I said it when we watched that episode.
You little trickster, you. You got me. I was going to argue, though, that Curiosity Killed is not my least favorite episode, that Beauty Rest is also my least favorite episode. And the problem with it, it's a fine episode, okay?
Yeah, on its own, it's not bad.
We've seen it before, though. We saw it in a better version as Top Billing from season 3 is the exact same episode, just better.
Better, yeah.
The same, I mean, essentially the same twists, the same plot line of actor needs role gets got by loser friend, gotta kill him. Like, it's the same story, it's just not as good. With Beauty Rest, but the actors in the episode, you know, Helen and Joyce were super wonderful to see, and it was still enjoyable. It just sucks that they reused the same plot line so quickly.
Yeah, if this episode had been in season 1 or whatever, we'd have been like, oh, this episode's great.
Yeah. What's your next least favorite episode?
Okay, so the second most terrible episode, even though it's not that terrible, is This'll Kill Ya.
This'll Kill Ya. This is one that I forgot about. Like, that's not great.
That's its biggest sin, is it's just kind of pretty forgettable.
It is. And, like, with the seasons full of, like, really great episodes, This'll Kill Ya just was there, you know, and that's what it, that's the crime it committed, is that it was just there. Nothing really groundbreaking here, although they did have some fun visual, like, effects when he was, like, hallucinating and stuff at the bar, but just really, really forgettable episode.
Not great, not terrible. The third least good episode of season four is On a Dead Man's Chest.
I also thought Dead Man's Chest was, like, just fine. It was okay.
Yeah.
The whole concept of it is just so stupid to me, though. Like, I don't know. Getting a tattoo and then being like, oh, this looks like somebody. I got to kill them because of it. Absolutely batshit stupid. The characters make really stupid decisions. Why are they even friends with Danny in the first place? He's awful.
Because he's good at singing or whatever? I don't know.
We
don't really get to see him.
Yeah, I can't really make a huge judgment call on that one. Tia Carrera did a really good job in this episode, though. Voice of Nani from Lilo and Stitch. Love her.
Yeah, she did good. They did not do a good tattoo of her.
No, they didn't. I was just going to say, with an episode that is based on tattoos, you would think we would see at least one good tattoo, but we didn't.
Nope.
We didn't see one. Not a single good one. And you remember that dragon that pops out at the end, Brandon?
I try not to think of it.
I forgot about that. Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. And they only did it because that was the cover, you know? They had to.
They were locked
in. They hobbled that shit together. Yeah. They're like, I guess we got to make a dragon pop out of his chest. And they went with it. And thankfully, we only see it for a few seconds. And then it's gone. I agree fully with you that those are the bottom three episodes. I think everything else is a little bit better. I know you had said last week, Curiosity Killed would be your least favorite episode. And I was like, we'll see, Brandon. You know?
Yeah. Once I had time to sit down and look at them all, it's, Curiosity Kills is not that bad.
No, it's not top three, though. I think we should talk about top three, Brandon.
No.
This one's going to be pretty tough.
It's not top three.
Good ones.
Okay, so for me, number three is Split Personality.
Fun episode, yeah. Is it because Joe Pesci's in it?
If Joe Pesci wasn't in this episode, it wouldn't be top three.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. So he carried an episode that would be somewhere in the middle, probably, towards the top.
Gotcha.
That's the power of the Pesh.
Yeah. 1993's Joe Pesci. Yeah. What about what's next, Brandon? Because we talked about that one pretty good.
Number two episode, I think, would have to be What's Cooking.
Oh, I love What's Cooking.
What's Cooking is a very good episode. The top rated episode on IMDb for this series.
That's crazy.
Yeah. People love this episode.
I really loved it too. Yeah. It's so much
almost
fun.
Almost as much as another episode, but this is number two. Solid.
I loved the effects in this episode. First of all, you got to see Meatloaf. Meatloaf is in an episode, Tales from the Crypt. Just a wild idea. And then we see his naked ass, and he's all chiseled up and getting cooked up and eaten. That's just wonderful. And Fred and Irma are great characters. I just love this episode. It's definitely one that I would watch, you know, without covering it on a podcast.
I watch this again. Christopher Reeve is just a really charming actor. I never really saw the Superman movies growing up. So I didn't see him in a whole lot, but he was good, man.
He was. What's your favorite episode of season four then, Brandon? If it's not What's Cooking.
My favorite episode of season four is The New Arrival.
I love that episode. So different.
This episode is great. A little haunted house, a little bit of Saw, a little bit, I don't even know what, Frasier.
Yeah, a little Frasier.
A little Frasier in there.
A little zombie, perhaps. They had it all. Yeah, this episode had it all.
That ending was something, huh?
I don't know what they were thinking when there was a hallway of bubblegum, but I'm glad it happened. Who knew that bubblegum was, could help you not get electrocuted? So next time you're moving something near power lines, make sure you got your bubblegum on hand. Well, I just learned so much. You know, I learned to ignore my child, which is very helpful as a parent. I'm sure it helped you out a lot, too.
Oh, every day.
Helped me be a better podcaster. You know, we had I don't remember his talk show at the beginning, but it helped me in so many ways, Brandon. I feel like it has deserved very well deserving of the number one spot of best episode of season four of Tales from the Crypt.
This is an episode of TV that could have Robert Patrick in a like guest appearance, and it's just like a footnote. Like, you could just not even remember that it happened. Because it's like, whatever. Robert Patrick's here as a man named Lothar, but we're just going to move on to the rest of this episode.
It's wonderful. And then that Rona gets electrocuted by the doorbell. Like, that part was hilarious. And everybody just like looks at her. She falls to the ground and convulses. Amazing. It was great stuff.
Yeah.
The twist, on the other hand, at the end was kind of like, what? But besides that, I loved the episode.
Good season of Tales from the Crypt.
It's going to be hard to top this season, I think. And I don't know if everybody is in agreement that they really enjoy Tales from the Crypt season four, or if it's kind of like Are You Afraid of the Dark, where everybody kind of gravitates towards, you know, season one or two kind of thing. But so far, I think this is peak Tales from the Crypt, Brandon. I'm very excited to find out what's going to happen in season five, which is what we're going to be covering next
week. Let's find out.
I know, Brandon. Any final thoughts on season four?
I hope they can keep it up.
I do too. Are the chances high that they will keep it up though, Brandon? I don't think they are.
Well, let's see what we've got going for this first episode and then just base the entire season based on that.
Okay. Let me pull it up here, Brandon. Season 5, episode 1 of Tales from the Crypt. Oh, I can already tell it's going to be a doozy, Brandon. It's called Death of Some Salesman.
That's the title, yeah.
And it reads, a conniving con man posing as a salesman gets more than he bargained for when he comes knocking at the door of the wrong family. You want to know who the wrong family is, Brandon?
Sure. The show sure does love con men.
It's Tim Curry.
Oh, fuck. This season's going to be awesome.
We got Tim Curry right away.
Season 5 is off the chain already.
We also have Ed Begley Jr.
Great. Fantastic.
A face that I know very well, but I don't remember from what. I think it's everything.
Yeah, he's in a lot of shit.
So, yeah. When you said that What's Cooking was like the top rated episode, I thought it was going to be this one because I see some people talking about Death of Some Salesmen. Troy asked if he could be back on for this episode. So we will likely have Troy back on to talk about the Tim Curry episode of season 5.
Awesome. Well, I can see that this episode has an 8 out of 10 on IMDb and What's Cooking has a 8.3. So they're not that far off.
Perfect. All right. I think it's going to be a very, very big premiere for season 5, and I am excited to talk about it and to watch it and enjoy it and write all my notes for it and then present it in a podcast format.
All right, we'll all be here next week.
All right, sounds good. Well, Brandon, I think I've been up all night. I think I've said everything I want to say about season 4. This episode, after editing, will probably be like 45 minutes, but that's fine. No big deal, Brandon. But I'm going to bed, even though I'm not, because I'm going to record a plot points episode with you, which is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. And I'll talk with you next week, along with Troy, for Death of Some Salesman.
All right.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.